Welcome to the Christopher Scott Show. It's Tuesday. I want to talk about a little story that came out over the weekend. I'm sure by the time you're hearing this, that this story has become ancient history, but I thought it was important enough to just mention this story revolving around Trump's so-called call for violence. What did he say? That there would be, it would be a bloodbath was the exact term that he used. The whole thing was immediately debunked on Twitter. And how they debunked it was they simply played a clip of what he actually said. And it was very clear from watching the clip that he was talking about a financial bloodbath. He was speaking metamorphically. I don't think I said that right. Hopefully you understood what I was saying. Get a little tongue-tied. So what's the deal? Well, even then after it was debunked on Twitter, and not that Twitter's the authority, but they clearly showed the clip, and millions of people had seen this. I saw at least after that, at least NBC continued to report that Trump had made calls for violence, and I saw the Democrat National Committee, I think, Twitter page sharing this out, that Trump was making calls for violence is how they were reporting that. And using NBC as a springboard to authenticate that claim. So who cares, right? I mean, they make up lies all the time. Well, how much discredit does that give to the American media? You wonder why trust in the media is at an all-time low. Take a look at that story. Take a look at what went on. Whether you hate Trump, you love Trump, you just flushed the entire news media down the toilet with that move. Besides the fact that then you've got the whole country tied up talking about this nonsense instead of the real issues that we're dealing with. And I ask this all the time. Do good people do that? Do good people tie up incredible resources with nonsense, especially at a time when we have important considerations? And everybody agrees on that, even if they don't agree what those important considerations are. Right? Everybody agrees. We got problems right now. Nobody's disputing that. But despite that, the Democrat National Committee and I guess NBC and whoever else wants to make up little stories about Trump calling for violence when he clearly didn't. And all they've served to do is take down the credibility of the entire news industry, whatever you would call it, the United States, our credibility as a country. What do other countries think when they watch this nonsense going on? And then when we sit back and we hear, you know, talk about how bad Russia is or how bad China is, oh, really? Well, how bad is it exactly? What kind of nonsense are they pulling that we're not? Show me that. I saw one of the most disturbing clips I saw over the weekend wasn't even related to this story. I don't believe it could have been. I really don't know. Dan Crenshaw. Republican Senator Dan Crenshaw, who's really well respected still in certain circles. Dan Crenshaw comes out and says, there's no American government involvement in meddling in our media. That is complete and utter bunk nonsense. It's budgeted all over the place. How could he possibly make such a claim? That guy just lost all credibility with me in that, and he was really defiant about it. Yeah, I say, wow, wonder who's putting money in his pockets, right? Don't you dare say that. Oh, tough guy, Dan Crenshaw. I wonder if I would just ask him, Dan, I'd have to, you know, obviously do my homework. I've done it. I have the information. We talked about it here, the law that while Obama was president, allowed propaganda. For many years, it was never allowed. They said, you could do it in foreign countries, they allowed it, but never here. And then Obama became, yeah, sure, you could do it here. And this is exactly what you're seeing, media propaganda to the benefit of political party, the Uniparty, to attack the populist President Trump. And then they want to turn around and call him the threat to democracy. And this is the dirty little game that they play. Is it good for the country? That's all I want to know. You want to say both sides are playing games, or I don't want to argue politics, me either. I'm just asking you right now, is quibbling about this nonsense good for the country? Do good people start fights like that? And I believe the answer is no. And I want to point out one other little thing. You know, besides the impact on us, because, I'm not here to worry about Trump. I'm not here to defend the Republicans, Democrats, any of that. I'm just here to say, hey, this is our country. We should do the best we can to take care of it. And I'm not seeing that happening in all this. But after you look at that and you say, look at the absolute perverted unfairness in all this, that the liberals, and they use any metaphor they possibly can, they love it. You know, from the weather to you name it, they've metaphorically lies to everything, the existential threat, everything, right? But the minute Trump uses the word blood, these are people say, you know, blow up the White House, you've heard that, all kinds of nasty calls against Trump. And yet, the minute he says blood, he said blood, they freak out like little possessed demons, like little attack.
Ah, he said blood. Ah.
Not that the conservative media, when that doesn't have their own frenzies, because they do. But I believe you have to see the difference between the two. The little trolls of the left.
He said blood.
Pretty funny. I don't know. I'm going to say this to you. This is my claim, my opinion. I've been saying this. This is a show is an opinion, right? I don't know why I got to say that, but why I feel the need to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's my opinion that what you're witnessing is a mental health crisis in the liberal, socialist, hate-filled, state-sponsored media that we have. I think you're witnessing a mental health breakdown. Possessed, maybe from the drug use, the generational drug use. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Maybe they're turning away from God and the absence of anything spiritual in their lives. I don't know. But some of them are spiritual people, go to church probably more than I do, you know. Who am I to judge? But I just look at the evidence. Look at how they're behaving.
He said blood. He's calling for violence.
They're like possessed demons. Remember that? What was that movie, The Exorcist? Or Amityville Horror,
get out. Is that blood?
Talk about some radical wing nuts. Don't you feel good that you can come to a place like the Christopher Scott Show and get a dose of sensibility? And I'm not even ranting about it today. I find that to be pretty impressive, wouldn't you say? Anyway, I thought it was an interesting story. I really did. I didn't really want to talk about it, especially not for 7.5 minutes here to open the show with that nonsense. We get sucked into it too, but I think it's important that people understand what's going on, the scale of it. There's zero credibility in that media. Now, it's a perfect transition because it opens up an incredible opportunity for people like me. And I got to tell you, I know there's been a lot of changes. Yesterday, we came in with a different video style, a different intro, and put that out on the audio. And, the blow up is happening, but I think it's going to be okay. I feel like everybody's supportive of everything I've done. I have to tell you, as of this video right now, we took that intro from yesterday, which I felt was really dialed in. And here's my litmus test. My 9-year-old daughter, that's why I made the change. I was showing her the other one that we had done, the first generation, if you will, and she just was not impressed by it. I show her the work we're doing at ProjectChaos.org, and she goes, oh my goodness, these videos are incredible, really incredible. And but somehow the Christopher Scott videos, and she wasn't impressed at all. I said, well, this is a real problem. So you have to remake it. I had a different idea what we're going to do, and it just didn't work. We're going to do this like multi-screen video pop-up thing. It's going to be very bop, 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 bop. Like, and it was like that. It was like looking into a high beam strobe light. I was like, can't put that out like that. And so we end up with the intros we have now. And my wife said, wow, and my wife can't support the Christopher Scott. I shouldn't say that. She knows me too well. She can't sit there and watch it and really give me an honest opinion about it. But she saw the new intro and the new backgrounds, and she says, wow, that's really something. And then we just tweaked that a little bit. We slowed it down, and the visuals. When you watch this video right now, if you get to watch this video today, I got to tell you, my big hang up with doing the video was I said, why do you want to sit there and watch a talking head, mine or anybody else's for that matter? It makes no sense to me. You want to watch a movie? You know, don't get me wrong. You want to watch a little clip or something. But I'm like, who wants to sit there and watch me for a half hour? I had to do something about it. And I did. And we put these back. I'm looking at it right now. This beautiful amusement park. That, you know, the theme of the images is Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, which is the kind of the theme that I'm taking moving forward. And this is just gorgeous to look at. You get to sit here and listen to my incredible voice and look at these beautiful, incredible images, no matter what kind of screen you're on. I'm really proud of what we're doing here. And I have to tell you, I feel like we polish things to the point. My confidence is, you know, I don't think I have a confidence problem. Usually people accuse me, they're a little arrogant. You know, I have feelings too. Now, here's a little issue with the video I was dealing with. So do I move out of the way of Abe Lincoln here? And that's going to affect the sound a little bit. But we could do that. I don't know that I want to. I don't know that that makes for the best video. But these are some of the challenges that we face. Maybe we got to take that slide out. Maybe I always go off to the side. Yeah, we'll sit over here for a little bit and we'll see how it goes. All I can tell you is I'm really excited. I want to tell you this, by the way. And the mic setup here is different too. We're going to get better sound quality out of this. I got it all dialed in. I'm so excited. I really am. We're ready for prime time. This is material that we're creating right now. And now this video edit, I believe, is top quality content, except for the fact that I got an itch on my nose that I'm going to scratch it. I'm not going to stop the video to do it because we do real stuff here. This isn't the fake NBC. I don't know that I want to be doing that in the future, but today I'm doing it because if I stop the video here, which I can do and we will do in the future, it's just a necessary part of the video, unlike the podcast they used to do straight through, because I could scratch my nose, do whatever I wanted, and you didn't know what I was doing. I could get away with it. We never really paused too much. Or I would just hit pause and then you wouldn't even notice it. In the video, it's a little different. I can hit pause on here, but for some reason we've had a problem. The pause in the video is not syncing up with the audio, and I don't want to get into the details, but it hasn't worked. If I stop and start the video, it kind of messes up the sequence of the slides, and I didn't want to do it today. So I scratched my nose on video. Tell somebody who cares. Somebody will. I don't think that was appropriate. Well, thank you for the feedback. Anyway, here's what I want to tell you. I'm so excited about where we're going. I was looking into our download numbers. It moved. I never really had good like monthly or by the week numbers. We didn't get that kind of reporting from the old podcast provider. And since I moved the Christopher Scott Show over, we are getting that data, and it is really eye opening. I never really knew. I guess I could have done the math on it, but I'm just really excited about what the size of our audience. Bottom line, it's kind of remarkable to me. I think it's only going to continue to increase over time. Matter of fact, I know it will. I'm on Twitter now. We're getting that geared up. Probably going to post these videos, podcasts on Twitter there. Cool stuff, right? We'll see what that all leads to. Anyway, I was looking at the download numbers. Of course, all I care about is how do I compare to everybody else, right? Not really. There's other issues associated with that, the reason I'm checking. But anyway, I'm going to tell you from what I was able to ascertain in my, you know, consulting the oracle of Google search, that we're at least in, you know, this is just based on download volume, number of downloads. We are at least in the top half of podcasts. This is based on monthly performance, by the way, not overall downloads. I think puts us even a whole different category. At least in the top half. I don't want to put any numbers out because I really don't know. And I have no way of verifying this research or what have you to do that. So I really can't tell you. I can tell you this. You know, the difference between, you know, the top 10%, you know, being in the top 10 and the top 2% is wild. I mean, Bongino's views on his Rumble account are more than we'll see in a year on the whole channel. I'm hoping to change that, but it's a big difference. It really is. But we're at least in the top half, probably in the top half of that half, and maybe even in the top half of that half. I'll let you do the math on that. I don't want to say any numbers because, like I said, it's really hard for me to make these claims, honestly, with the lack of information that I have. It doesn't really matter. I know this, that we have our audience, and it's a loyal audience, and it's been a great audience. And the quality of the material, I think, only continues to get better. And now we're adding this video element in that I'm just, it took a little bit here, about a week or two to really get it dialed in, but I think we're there. So I got a couple other stories that I wanted to talk to you about today. And I want to try and keep to our half-hour schedule. I think it's a reasonable schedule. Keep people's attention and whatnot. Working a little bit differently here today as well. I have some paper notes, which you don't get to see me use too often. But hopefully I don't have to put my glasses on is the reason I mentioned that. This I wanted to talk about this the Biden document case. They had this hearing. Another, and this report, by the way, was by the New York Post put this out. So, of course, they're going to be, anti-Democrats and Biden. It's just typically the slant that the New York Post has, or critical of, I should say, which is fine. And, you know, they had this hearing in the House of Representatives on this Biden document matter. What does that tell you right there? It's all just political nonsense. All political nonsense. But the outcome was that there was a lot of bickering and arguing about this report. And once again, I say complete and utter nonsense. What does this have to do with anything to do with the running of the country, our tax dollars, the debt, the border problem, our military falling apart as we speak, people struggling? If you're not making $100,000 a year right now, you're struggling financially. I'm realizing that as I get out more and talk to people. It's unreal, really. But yet they're going to have this hearing to argue not even about the merits of the document case. No. This has to do with comments that were made about whether or not Biden's got mental capacity to be president. It says here you said that he couldn't be prosecuted because he'd be viewed as a forgetful old man. Ever notice how every time that it's liberal or establishment being accused, that there's always some convenient reason that they can't prosecute? Well, there was no intent. Well, he didn't, he left the box in the garage, but he cooperated. He's cooperating fully. Trump, his intent was clearly, evil, and he wouldn't cooperate at all. So they had to invade his house. Biden, on the other hand, they're going to argue about the comments that the special prosecutor made. If you don't think all this is lunacy enough, let me just put it down to you in simple terms a second here. I'm going to have a Rachel Maddow moment, okay? I'm going to get real emphasize here what I'm going to say. You just digest this a little while, okay? This special counsel, right? Who's he working for? Go look up the rate. I got to believe it's like $1,000 an hour. Who knows, right? I don't know. Maybe it's only $250. Maybe we're getting a bargain. Whatever. This guy's getting paid big coin. He gets paid big coin to write this stupid report, and then they're going to pay him big coin to come back and talk about it some more. Fascinating, really. No psychologist. The party of science only rarely ever relies on the science. I got this article, How Wealthy Investors Got Rich Looting America's Needy Hospitals. So I sent this article off to a buddy of mine who they're a big donor of a local hospital here, the main local hospital. So they've put some money on there, and they seats in special places, if you know what I mean. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to reveal who he is. Anyway, I emailed the article to him. I said, hey, I want to talk about this on the podcast. Can you tell me if this is true? And he comes back and he says, yeah, it's true. How can you talk about something you don't know what you're talking about? And I said, well, I'm a little surprised you would make a comment like that. They'll ask me if I do know what I'm talking about. So I don't know specifically about this, but I know a little bit about private money. I know a little bit about real estate. And I have been talking about this issue. Maybe some of you remember. And that is the private money that owns nearly all of the I don't know if – I didn't want to say the name of the pharmacies, but there was pharmacies – and publicly held companies that most of their real estate, like 90% of it, was not owned at all. They were renting the real estate on something called a triple net lease. And you had these wealthy doctors who were, as a tax incentive, or putting this money in and collecting payments. And triple net lease, what that means is the tenant's responsible for everything. Everything, paying, doing all. They did these agreements. So Walgreens just ran it, or whoever was the pharmacy, as if they owned it when they don't. Now, there's one big issue with all that. Nothing wrong with it as a business model, I suppose. And our tax system is what creates these silly little things going on. But the doctor's income is so high that they need a place to put money that they can take some kind of write-offs to get the tax liability down that they can make anything. And it provided a vehicle to do that. But also propped up the price of the real estate unnecessarily. Takes away opportunities for other real estate investors. But the bigger thing that I saw was that these pharmacies had huge debt commitments in the form of these long-term lease commitments that they bill. You know, when they go to the investors, oh, ironclad, we've got a AAA credit rating and we're never going to default. You have, you know, 10-year leases, I think was typical term. I said, wait a minute. There's a lot of financial liability there that I don't see being reported. Anyway, the medical industry in this country is severely hampered by the cost of the real estate. My good friend and chiropractor just went through this doing a small renovation. It was a little taken aback. Not even a renovation. They took a wall down in his office, man. You know, you get into medical stuff like that and just, whoa, everything. They want an engineer for every little thing, and all the standards are different. You say, well, they need to be. Need to make some reasonable adjustments, I think, to get these costs down. I've been arguing about this across all commercial real estate. Anyway, wealthy investors got rich looting hospitals. Here's what they say. They say that wealthy investors came in and bought up struggling hospitals. And then carved off the real estate separate of the hospital. And so the real estate investors would sell the hospital entity, keep the real estate with a triple net lease deal to the hospital, creating the exact situation that I'd been talking to you about. Now, why would they do this? To make money without having to get into the messy and overregulated environment of dealing with operating a hospital. There's two sides to this story. And so now they're saying, well, the hospitals come in and they can't make the rent payments and they're having to close. It's destroying them. And it's these wealthy investors that are looting America's hospitals. Whoa, 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 whoa. Back up a second. Why would the real estate investor have any interest in seeing the hospital close? None, I assure you of that. Little to none anyway. I'm sure in certain cases there's some value to the real estate beyond being a hospital that they would want to force a closure. But I would say to you that that would be very, 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 very rare. In most places around the country, they're looking to add medical space inventory, not take it away. So what's really going on here? Private investors came in and bailed out these hospitals, and probably much of it doctor money as well. They came in and made investments due to regulatory changes, all the COVID nonsense, and all the demands that the government puts on these entities. They couldn't be profitable. It's the regulation that killed it. Now these investors are stuck, in many cases, with worthless property. Incredible, really. 23 minutes in, I have three more stories I want to get to you today. I'm liking the paper thing here. I don't know if I'll stick with it or not because I like to go paperless, of course, but every once in a while, I like a little paper. What can I tell you? Especially when it's green, you know what I mean? Ooh, rhyme. We're doing well. We're on a roll here this Tuesday. All right. Newsmax republished this, and where was this originally put out? I didn't get a chance to see it here, and I can't see it without my glasses. That's fine, but they did a study. Oh, Purdue University, I believe it was. Did a study on gas stoves in tiny homes, no less. And they found that cooking on gas stoves is 100 times more dangerous than running a car in the garage. What? Okay. Sell me another one. Listen, here's what, you know, this is absurd. Blah, 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 that's absurd. Yes. They're banning glue traps for mice. They're taking away gas stoves. They want to get rid of gas cars. What the hell is going on? What are we doing? And people, wow, it's just the lunacy, yeah. I would agree. Why are we allowing this to go on at all? These people are nuts. They're nuts. You know, I don't have gas anymore. I used to have gas for years. Here we have electric. No gas here. No gas. I got to get propane if I wanted. But I'm not going to put a whole propane system in just so I can cook on gas. I have propane outside on my grill if I really want to do it that way. And I do. But gas is a million times better. And this BS in here about these nanoparticles and this and that. And let me say this just to bring a little clarity to this. Who do you think funded this Purdue research? I'm going to say, without looking into it, more than likely it was a government grant, part of the New Green scam. Let's look into the dangers of combustible, whatever, burning inside homes. And I don't know, how far does it go? How much free choice do they take away under the idea of liberal democracy? How much we give up our guns, we give up our cars, we give up gas stoves, we give up anything that burns except weed. You can have all that you want, apparently. Where's it going? We're like every day committing Harry Carey to ourselves. Government funded, stupid, too much money in government is my point. I don't know why it took me so long to get to that. Stop the damn spending. They'll stop attacking us. Stop giving them money. We're like giving them the weapons to attack us with by funding it. Stop funding it. They can't because the debt is on this runaway spiral. And need to stimulate. The new Green Deal, great, green jobs. Yeah, where are they? I was driving this weekend. I saw this new home community, all these new homes. One of them had solar panels on it. Looked ridiculous, by the way. Not that I'm anti-solar. I'm not. If you've listened, I'm pro-solar. All right, I want to talk about this briefly. 140 House Democrats demand ability to put veterans on the NICS gun ban. So what happens is that if a veteran becomes to the point where they're mentally incompetent, unable to take care of their finances, they will assign a fiduciary. This could be, say, an elderly grandparent or something like that. Maybe the spouse takes over as fiduciary. Maybe a child does. And in those cases, they were immediately putting him on a gun ban. They couldn't buy any guns. And what are my thoughts on this? Well, if somebody becomes incapacitated to the point that they can't care for themselves, should they be banned from buying firearms? Generally speaking, without getting into a big debate on this, I would think for as a practical matter, you would say probably reasonable. However, we're not in reasonable times. And my first question would be, well, is this happening with everybody who becomes mentally incompetent? You know, if the cops take you in section whatever, you 402 or whatever they call it around here, I'm going to probably be next. You're going to find out. Oh, great. Can't wait for that. Does that automatically put you on the no-buy list? I don't think it does. The bigger issue is it takes away due process, an important constitutional right, as they're using that lack of due process to then take away another important constitutional right, being the Second Amendment. And for those reasons, I'm totally against it. And I say restore the Second Amendment fully. I say restore the Second Amendment fully. And you say, what do you do? Crazies with a gun. Carry and keep it loaded and learn how to shoot well. That's what I would say. Pretty simple. Not really that complicated. Simple system that worked for hundreds of years, believe it or not. I want to leave you with this last story. Tyson Foods under fire for replacing hardworking Americans with illegal immigrants. This has been a case. Thank you, Dan, for sending the link to that. Appreciate your contributions to the show. You can email me at info@ChristopherScottShow.com. It's one of the unique things about this podcast that I really hope to continue. And I will as long as I can. That is, I read every email. I check them all personally. And sometimes I got to do it pretty quick. Sometimes I get a little backed up. But I do it. I stay on it. I got a system to do it. And I appreciate that feedback. It's what fuels me, really. We don't do, like back in the day, it would be the callers that energized the broadcast. We don't do that anymore. I need the emails. I need that reinforcement. Okay. I need. Help me out. Feed me emails. I'm kidding around. I do appreciate the emails. Thank you, Dan. Tyson Foods. So this is not a new claim that food, agriculture, anti-American, really, and supporting illegal immigrants. And, you know, they'll give you a million reasons why they need to hire illegal immigrants and not Americans to do these jobs. Let me say this. very, very clearly. It's wrong. It's evil. And I think it's been a problem for a long time. My guess is that these are Republicans as well. I don't know. I don't really care. The net result for us as citizens of this country is the same, and that is that this open border policy is destroying us. And it's also destroying good people's lives that come across this border with a certain expectation that's unrealistic and can't possibly survive in the long term. And, you know, that's certainly my personal opinion, just like everything else. But I think a lot of people agree with me on that. Let me wrap this all up just to say this. I started with this Trump nonsense. Yesterday, we had a story on the Fannie Willis nonsense. Lots of nonsense. Not really my intention to start off the week with a bunch of nonsense with these great videos that we're putting out. But this is the state of things. And as I indicated, it's an election year, and everything is going to be political at this point. Everything. You know who I got that from? None other than the great Rush Limbaugh, I'm proud to say. God willing. We'll be back tomorrow. I sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.